This is All of It. I'm Kusha Navadar in for Allison Stewart. Thanks for spending part of your Wednesday with us. It's so nice to have you. On today's show, Grammy Award winner Nicole Zoraitis is here to play some music she composed for our public song project. We'll talk about the work of the late, great photographer Corky Lee, and we'll talk about bachelorette parties. And we're going to take your calls with an editor from Brides Magazine. That's the plan. So let's get this party started with why Broadway tickets are so dang expensive. New York City, it's the theater capital of the world, and for those of us who live here, seeing a live performance whenever we want is one of the great privileges of living in New York. I love theater, our listeners love theater, everyone loves theater. Until you go buy a ticket and you see the price tag, especially for some of the bigger, storied productions like Cabaret, which right now costs a minimum of $269 per ticket. The worst seats in the house for Merrily We Roll Along, well, those are $134. So if you're finding yourself thinking, wow, Broadway feels more expensive than ever, we want you to know you're not imagining it. WNYC Gothamist culture and arts reporter Ryan Kyloth just did a deep dive into this issue and wrote an article titled, Why Are Broadway Tickets So Expensive Right Now? It's Not Just Inflation. He joins us now to talk about what he learned, and we're going to open up the phones and take your questions. Ryan, welcome to All of It.
Hey, Kusha.
So let's get right into it. What made you research this topic? What were you hearing?
Well, I think the story, why is Broadway so expensive, has been getting written every year since the start of Broadway. So I'm just the latest to have the honor to dig into this. I kind of thought there would be some simple answers or at least some clear themes that emerged, like this is the number one reason. Turns out, way more complicated than that, as I learned diving into this with no knowledge. I also love about this topic, it's a real is a hot dog a sandwich kind of story, in that, as you'll learn from the comment section on my Gothamist piece, everybody has an opinion, and they are right. So well before we open the phones to listeners, I'm going to go ahead and say that whatever new thing you've come up with, I'm sure that is also true. I am just one reporter.
Did you find anything conclusive? Did you find that Broadway tickets were, in fact, more expensive?
Yes, and they have almost without exception, steadily increased. I think there was one year where they dipped like a few pennies, the average price, but it's been a steady increase since as far back as data goes, and it has steadily outpaced inflation as well.
What is that data that you're using? Like, who says who?
Yeah, right. So the Broadway League is the industry's trade group, mostly represents producers, landlords, theaters, and they've been tracking all of this stuff. They have grosses, you know, how much they pull in every week, every show, as well as number of seats sold. So you can just divide those to get the average ticket price.
Got it. And is there like a specific metric that we can point to, or I guess a piece of data to say it's increased by this much and that doesn't even account for inflation? Was it possible to go that granular with it?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into all every piece of numbers. Yeah. Since the 60s, it's steeply outpaced inflation. Since the 80s, steeply outpaced inflation. There was a big jump about 20 years ago. Over the last 5 years, Broadway tickets have actually come in under inflation. Mm. But that's because inflation in the last few years has been insane.
So, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, it's all relative.
But, you know, even relatively speaking, it's getting more and more expensive. So you're actually feeling it.
Yeah. In the last full season, so the season ending 2023, the average price was 128 something. Mm. That's all shows, all seats, average price. And that is the highest it's ever been.
Wow. And that high it's ever been adjusted for inflation as well, obviously. So,
yeah.
Wow. Okay. So $128 is what you're looking for. And, you know, you mentioned that you had a lot of comments that had all different points of view on your article. And, you know, listeners, I'm sure people listening in New York City right now have many opinions if Ryan's article is any evidence. So we'd love to open up the phones and hear from you. Here's what we want to hear. How do you approach buying a ticket on Broadway? What's the most you've ever paid for a seat? I think that would be really interesting. Ooh. And was it worth it? And what's the best deal you've ever scored and how did you do it? We're going to be covering that a little bit towards the later of the interview. But if you have tips, we're here for that. Give us a call, send us a text. You can reach us at 212-433-9692. It's 212-433-WNYC. Or if you're on Instagram right now, you can DM us. We're at @allofitWNYC. Ryan, let's get into why the prices are increasing. Were there overall themes that you found, things that really took broke the bank, so to speak?
Yeah, it depends where you want to start. But the two big themes, so when we talk about inflation, there's cost inflation, right? Like, how much does it cost to make anything, a pencil, a car, a Broadway show? That has increased. The costs have increased, like everything in this economy, famously. And then there's also price inflation, which is different, right? Like, there's how much it costs you to make something, but then how much are you charging for it?
Like on the producer side.
Right, exactly. So let's start with cost. That's easier. Okay. Everything has gotten more expensive, especially stuff that they use on Broadway. Like, right, remember lumber famously went insane during the pandemic? Right. Well, guess what? They use a lot of building sets, right? Electricity in the New York area, the bright lights on Broadway. Electricity is up 25% since before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So it is true. Producers, and I talked to a ton of them, producers will tell you this often repeated line, oh, Broadway is expensive to see because it's expensive to produce. And that is true, and the costs have increased.
What about the supply of Broadway theaters? And I think something that'd be especially interesting is just defining what Broadway is to begin with. Like, we're not talking about all theater that happens in New York City, right? Can we define that and then talk about the supply side of it as well as like the costs?
Yeah, exactly right. So Broadway is this very specific industry and union defined term. You know, it's in the contracts for, I believe it's 41 specific theaters that are in that little sliver of Midtown. And those theaters, you know, it's not like the movies. They have a fixed number of seats. Mm. So supply is essentially fixed until such day that they decide to start streaming the shows on a new streaming service. So supply is fixed and demand is virtually infinite. Mm. So that does something to the economics of a show, for sure.
And you had mentioned, so on the one hand, there is the cost of making it, but then also what producers would be charging for it. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah. So, these are commercial investments. When you build a Broadway show, you have to file with the Securities and Exchange Commission because you are taking investment at the level of like a company that's being funded. It's very regulated, and these people are not in it for any other reason besides to make a profit. So, there's one thing, the costs are increasing. That is certainly true. But on the hit shows or the shows that can support high prices, prices are increasing even more. And that's that disconnect between sort of ticket inflation and regular inflation. That's the fact that people want profits. They're investing for that reason. And so they charge what they can.
Is it possible to connect that in any way to behavior since the pandemic? Because from my perspective, at least, it seemed like, Broadway was doing really well right up until the pandemic. Then everything got shut down for a while. And now it's coming back. Are producers thinking, hey, I got to charge as much as I can to make sure that I recoup my costs? And so it goes a little bit further to the edge than it would have otherwise? Or is it just not possible to make that correlation?
No, sort of. I mean, attendance is lower, right? So attendance and like overall receipts, gross money in, was higher in right before the pandemic, I think the 2019 season. Attendance is lower now. And so, yeah, if you're a producer or a theater and you want to keep revenue flat when attendance is lower, well, how do you do that? You're selling fewer seats. You got to charge more for them to make the same amount of money that you were before. Mm. So that's another piece of the supply demand part. One more cost I should mention, because listeners are going to yell at me if I don't. There's three landlords that own pretty much all of the theaters on Broadway. Not all of them, but most of them. Mm-hmm. And several sources describe that to me as, basically an oligopoly, and that the landlords can just rake it in. They charge for everything. They take a cut of every night's receipts. They take a cut of merch, obviously alcohol concessions, etc. Several people describe that to me as sort of a structural factor that keeps costs high for the people making theater.
Does it make it
increasingly high, or is it just like a fixed extra cost that these landlords are incurring that has the same relative effect over time? Does that make sense?
Unfortunately, I was a business reporter, so you're going to have to stop me on this
okay.
one. Yeah, there are two categories of rent costs. There's the fixed cost that you're talking about, mm-hmm. and then there's a variable cost. So this is one of the only industries I've ever encountered where rent is a variable cost.
Mm.
And that's because the more tickets you sell, the higher your rent is.
Interesting.
So it's almost like shows are being punished for doing well on the rent side.
Oh, wow. And yet it is in the incentive of these landlords to actually have that variable cost be as high as possible so they get the most number of people in, kind of like a moral hazard in a weird way, right?
Right.
For any business people out there that are listening right now.
Now we're getting geeky.
Oh, we're talking to Ryan Kyloth, who's a culture and arts reporter at WNYC Gothamist. We're talking about why Broadway tickets are so expensive right now. Turns out you're not feeling it out of nowhere. They are getting more expensive, maybe more expensive than ever. And callers, we want to hear from you. Do you have a story about how you've either paid a lot, was it worth it, or how you've scored great deals? We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 212-433-9692. Ryan, we've got our first caller. This is Douglas in Manhattan. Hi, Douglas. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking the call.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So, interesting story. Friday afternoon last week, I went to two box offices. One was for at Circle in the Square to see Enemy of the People. I got two tickets for a particular evening. It cost me about $400. Then I ran over to the Golden Theater to get tickets for Stereophonic. And every time I go to the box office, they always say, "How much do you want to pay?" And my response is, "Well, I'm a New Yorker, and I don't feel we should have to ever pay full price." And of course, they always chuckle and help me out and blah, blah, blah. However, at Stereophonic, the guy said, "Well, where would you like to sit?" I said, "Well, my favorite seats are in the front mezzanine somewhere." He says, "Great. I have tickets in the second row of the center front mezzanine, $84 each." And I was like, "What?" And I looked at him and I said, "$84 each? Is this a joke? What's the catch?" He says, "There is no catch. They want these tickets to move. They're priced accordingly." So I bought four tickets for Stereophonic at $84 each. It cost me less than buying two tickets for Enemy of the People. So there you have it.
Well, yeah. Go ahead. What are you going to say, Ryan?
Douglas, I hate to break it to you, but the average ticket price for Stereophonic last week was $65.
Douglas, it's Douglas. Go ahead.
That's crazy. Well, all right. Well, there you go. That's my story.
But Douglas, thank you so much for that call. Ryan, you know, I'm listening to Douglas right now. He's talking about the ways that he's, you know, trying to be really nice to these folks and getting that kind of New York discount. Is that something that's often, you know, a well-known idea that if you're a New York City resident, you can go to the box office enough and they might catch you a deal? Did you hear anything about that?
Listen, I'm a big fan of the good guy discount, which is, maybe, you know, you walk up and you say, "Hey, I'm a good guy."
Yeah, right.
"You're a good guy. Can I get a discount?" New Yorkers, I think that maybe works a little better here to lubricate things. But to Douglas's point, like, this goes back to supply and demand, right? The demand for certain shows, Enemy of the People, super hot. Jeremy Strong from Succession, mm-hmm. everybody wants to see that. They love a celeb. They love a celeb who was recently on a hit show. Stereophonic, much more niche. So yeah, the average ticket price last week was $65.47 for Stereophonic. Enemy of the People was, I've lost it, but it was definitely three figures.
Wow. Well, we're talking to Ryan Kyloth. He's a reporter at WNYC Gothamist. We're talking about Broadway prices. Listeners, our phones are lighting up. We're going to get to some of your calls right after this. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navidar, and we're talking about the rising costs of going to see Broadway shows. We're with Ryan Kyloth, a culture and arts reporter at WNYC, The Gothamist. So we've got a bunch of calls I'd love to get to. Let's go to Tom in Manhattan. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because I have not heard anyone mention the fact that the tourism Broadway shows are a tourism industry. They are meant to attract people who come from out of town to come to spend a lot of money. And to most of the country, show business means Broadway. It does not mean any other kind of any other kind of drama. And so they figure, you know, if they go on a Caribbean cruise or something, they'll pay through the nose. That's what they come for. So I think there is a, what's built into it is the desire to, you know, make as much out of the tourist industry as you can. And this is a factor.
Yeah, sure. Tom, thank you so much for that insight. And Ryan, I hear Tom saying, you know, it's people are going to pay what they can. They gotta use the tourism industry as they can. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I have to fact check this. It's been a while since I looked, but I believe, the average Broadway goer or the sort of median Broadway goer is from out of town and sees a show like four times a year, actually. Mm. But it is, I believe, mostly tourists.
And do you think that impacts the artistic choices that we see being made in Broadway right now? Like, there's a lot of headliners that we see. Hugh Jackman. I recall that when Bette Midler was a headliner for a musical, there was a huge amount of money per ticket, and then the show quickly closed after that. Any correlation that you can make between those two factors?
Between tourism and the sort of types of shows? Yeah, perhaps. You definitely see the rise of the jukebox musical, you know, whether it's the Bob Dylan one, Girl from the North Country, or, you know, some of these others that are playing, Tina Turner, playing off of existing songbooks and catalogs. I talked to one professor of theater at University of Nevada, Reno, I believe it was, who writes extensively about the industry and economics and stuff like that. And she said that, yeah, you're seeing fewer original small ideas, kind of like the movie industry or the music industry. Fewer of those, more things based on IP, based on known brands or known ideas. And that, yeah, it's just a way for producers to try to have some certainty that they'll have demand for whatever their new show is.
Yeah, I'm happy that you brought up the movie industry because it seems like such a big correlation. And, you know, Marvel movies is the first thing my mind goes to. There's no in-universe franchise for Broadway, but is this sense of, you know, increasing the amount of value you can get from consumers. Let's go to Charlotte in Larchmont, New York. Hi, Charlotte, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing? I love calling in, and I love the show, and I'm wishing Allison the best always.
Thank you so much.
But yeah, so I am a huge Broadway fan, but rarely get to go because, as you guys are discussing, the prices are just disgusting. So my proposal to those powers that be is that there be some sort of, like, just like there's already a lottery program, there's already, you know, I know discounts for students and whatnot, but that there be some sort of scholarship program that if you can provide your income level or your, you know, financial circumstances or hardships, that there could be some amount of allotted tickets that are allotted for scholarship, that they're discounted, you know, 50%, whatever it may be. For those that are experiencing financial hardships.
Charlotte, thank you so much for offering that. And it makes me think of ways in which we try to subsidize theater. I think a big difference between theater that we see, Ryan, in New York City and maybe in other cities, I'm thinking of London, Vienna, is that there are subsidies that go along with making that more accessible. Have there ever been any efforts to make that possible in New York City, or do they exist right now?
I didn't dig in deep to any sort of legislation or something like that that would bring funding. Certainly, the famous example is the UK and London, where, you know, you can see great shows for $60 or £60, rather. And yeah, that's because they subsidize the arts heavily. One of the Reddit threads of many sort of complaining about ticket prices in New York, I think it was titled something like, are theater tickets in the U.S. expensive or am I just poor?
Well, we appreciate, Charlotte, you calling in. We also have a text from Mariah from Brooklyn. Many people do not know about the Theater Development Fund or think that it is only for one specific group of people. However, it covers many people, including freelancers, teachers, and city workers. I go to the theater often now and never pay more than $50. My son has benefited from that. I'm a freelancer. At 17, he's been to the theater far more than most of his friends because of TDF. And we have a caller following in this train of thought, Samantha from New York. Hi, Samantha. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Wonderful. What's your story?
I go to TDF regularly because of the pricing. They have great shows, not always the top ones that are out there, but there are a lot of off-Broadway shows that are amazing as well. I subscribe to their email so I get notifications when there's a good one out there. And like you said, it's about $59, top dollar. And the seats are usually pretty good. They're usually an orchestra, not right in the middle, but left or right. Perfect.
Samantha, thank you so much for calling. Thank you for offering that as well. It sounds like TDF, the Theater Development Fund, is a good way of finding maybe some deals. Ryan, did you find that to be the case? Other ways that folks can score some good deals?
Yeah, and last thing on Charlotte, which somebody else picked up, is, you know, they do have memberships at TDF, which runs the TKTS booths. It's the same organization. They have memberships for a million things. Income restriction is not one of them, but freelance or self-employed, as was mentioned, is. Yeah, TKTS is great if you've got the time. Go stand in line at the booth or do the rushes, the lotteries, the membership programs. I think the average price in the last full season for people at the TKTS booth was $85. So, you know, still not no money, but right. Significantly better than the average price at the box office.
Looking at TDF, who can be a member?
Oh, God, they've got a million. We heard about freelance or self-employed, army or other, you know, military service. Arts professionals can be members, not-for-profit staff, government employees, retirees. There's a long list on the website, tdf.org, of who can sign up for memberships, which are a cheap and great way to get access if you go often and are in town.
Well, we appreciate callers letting us know about that, bringing that to our attention. Speaking of callers, we've got Tony in Nassau County. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. It's a great topic. It strikes me that Broadway is one very small sector of the economy, but a sector in which it's very difficult to achieve economies of scale. And I wonder if that's not a significant factor in the inflation, very high inflation in ticket prices, and how that inflation would compare to inflation in other sectors of the economy, where it's also very difficult to achieve economies of scale. And I can mass produce cell phones and make them better and cheaper at the same time, but I can't really mass produce a Broadway show. And, you know, as has been said, of higher education and theater, it still takes X amount of time to produce the product, and time means labor.
Tony, thank you. So, Ryan, let's tackle that. First, maybe a quick primer. What does economies of scale mean? And then does that apply?
Yeah, sure. If you make cars and it's a boutique new electric car from a company nobody's ever heard of, each car you make is a little expensive, right? But if you're Ford and you're making a billion of the F-150 every year, you've got economies of scale. You're sized up to the point where you've literally got an assembly line cranking these things out. So that's what Tony is alluding to. And yeah, Broadway shows are not the assembly line factory. Now, we've all seen that these guys are super clever about reusing sets and costumes and the way the changes happen fast, but it's still not a factory production. Each one is a bespoke individual product. They're basically making a movie live, you know, four or five times a week. So it's in some ways not surprising it would be expensive, you know, to watch a movie be made live in front of you. It's not cheap to do.
We just got a text. And for folks who are just listening in, we're talking to Ryan Kailoth, a culture and arts reporter at WNYC Gothamist, and we're talking about why Broadway tickets are so expensive. Here's an interesting text, Ryan. Are ticket prices cyclical? And if so, can we expect a summer slump? Any thoughts?
Wow, that's a great question. I have the data, but didn't crunch it on a seasonal level. Mm. I imagine there's an effect there. Like the most expensive time and often the most expensive week of the year is the week leading up to and the week after Christmas. So that's when ticket prices absolutely go insane. The cheapest one, I would have to dig back in.
The cheapest
time of year.
Got
right.
It. Yeah. We have time for one more caller. We have Susan in Baldwin. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Okay, I want to help consumers here. I don't know why anyone hasn't mentioned rush tickets and the digital lotteries. You can get all that information online. They tell you how to do it, when to come, and what the price is. And it's always minuscule compared to the regular prices.
Susan, thank you so much for that. Yes, of course, Rush Tickets. Ryan, can you go into a bit about what that is, how it works?
Yeah, each show or often theater will have a separate system. And thank you, Susan, for pointing that out. Sometimes it's online day of, sometimes it's day before, sometimes even several days before that you can sign up, see whether you won. And if you did, you got to be ready to drop everything you're doing and get to the theater that day.
So it is a big time commitment, which you're actually referring to, I think, before the break that, you know, and, you know, you had mentioned before that there is a value to having these, you call them movies, basically made in front of you every single night. Do you think that these expensive tickets are worth it in the end?
I don't go a lot. I would if I had the money. But yeah, my hot take is that Broadway is cheap. Sorry. Just to watch. Yeah. To watch a movie be made in front of you. It seems if you asked me to imagine how much would that cost, I'd be like, I don't know, $1,000. It's so crazy. It's so magical. It's so amazing. I don't have the money, but if I did, I would go way more.
It is definitely magical. I think we can all agree on that. We've been talking to Ryan Kailoth, a culture and arts reporter at WNYC, The Gothamist. Ryan, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kusha.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.